Okay, so we're continuing in the topic of Dibur. We are on page 495. The shir was started as the shir is an Ilui Neshama for our dear Chaver Chaim Elazar ben Shem Shenarieh, as well as a schus for an Ilui Neshama for Rabbi Yaakov Yosef ben Chaim Menachem ben Tzion. It should also be a schus for Shleima, Chaim Moshe Yeshua ben Malka Chaim Deb ben Menorachel, Chanalei b'Shein Derachel, and Abadati ben Perel, as well as a schus for all those in the Makom Sakana in Eretz Yisrael and those risking their lives to protect it. So, continuing from yesterday, and I'm going to be very careful how I speak today because it took me like half an hour yesterday to edit the share. So I got to be careful today. All right. So talking now about the way that a person is supposed to interact with other people with regards to learning, and that potentially, even though you're learning, there could be the Devarim Asurim that occur. So here he's talking about how do you interact with somebody who you have a debate with, a debate in Torah, but debate in Torah that someone could be embarrassed over. So he says like this on page 495, Aderech Hayasha L'chol Chayver Chibur, the proper way for anyone who authors some sort of compilation of writing, Sheyichtav Daitai, that he should state his opinion, V'lo Yisal Sfasav Lista Divrei Zulasoi, and never challenge the opinion of others, which means that if you have a shita about something, it's not really appropriate in most circumstances for you to talk about other people's shitas. So, give you an example. If you hold that a certain hashgacha is not sufficient, it's okay for you to let people know who look up to you as a madrich that you don't feel that hashgacha is sufficient. But it's not your place to comment on other people who do feel that it is sufficient. Okay, because that's already stepping over your bounds. Rak enough gemina. And he says, let's say there is an nafka mina halacha. Let's say you have a disagreement of someone over an Erev, let's say, and it comes down to a practical nafka mina halacha l'maisa. So there really is if the Erev is not good, that's a big avla. So he says, over there, you put whatever rayas you have, you can include them, but it's more of an aside, and it's not to be written as a shtach. V'rak. It says, rather than taking apart someone else's shita, what you could do is you could put your points in and then you could reference the other sefer. But don't take someone else's writing and rip it apart. V'almile de drasha, and let's say you're sitting by someone who's speaking publicly, yane moy de moydim im toy vimra de my nafkamina. You should always praise it, whether it doesn't matter whether it was good or bad, because what's the difference, right? The speech is already over, it happened already. So if someone's going to come to you in a few weeks and say, how was the rabbi's drasha? Whether it was good or not, you're going to say, you're going to praise whatever he spoke about that really impressed you. But don't no reason to honestly put it down, even if you weren't impressed by it, because what's the difference? It's not like the rabbi's going to give a different speech because of it, or this person that is asking you, it's going to really impact their lives and one way or the other. But Prophet Fnei Bali Batim, he says, especially in front of Bali Batim. Now, here he's talking about Bali Batim who are Amaratzim, so present company excluded, of course. Tzarech Zehira is Gadol Bein HaTalmidei Chachamim. He says the Talmidei Chachamim who are speaking have to be especially careful in our covered Zeb Zeb Dibur Maisa to treat each other respectfully. So, what he's talking about here is let's say there is Bali Batim present and there's a debate going on, whatever it is, a discussion, a debate between two Talmidei Chachamim, and you have Amaratzim that are listening to it. So, in terms of the drush aspect of it, it's going over their heads anyway. But so, really, it's just a matter of all they're going to take from it is not the halacha lemaisa. All they're going to take from it is how did they interact? How did these two people interact with each other? So, therefore, imraya you see that the other person's going to be extremely upset or embarrassed. If he is defeated in front of these people, because he's so concerned about kavod. And again, it's not a matter here of you winning the argument or him winning the argument is not going to have a nafka mina halacha l'maisa. So then, Yifresh, you should disengage and essentially you should submit so that it looks like he won the debate, the kabbal sachar l'prisha, and you'll get reward for separating from him. And when the two of them are alone, then then you should repeat your argument, because at the end of the day, there is a halachic debate that's occurring over here, or some sort of Torah-related debate. So that should still occur, but it doesn't need to occur in front of everyone. I'm sorry. These are the ways that wise people ensure that their limud Torah is going to find favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. So that is in terms of limud Torah. What about tefillah? What are some of the pitfalls that present themselves when it comes to davening? So he says, b'mitzvah tefillah gam kein is also in mispalel b'yoseh shikr. If you daven while you're drunk, that you can't speak without slurring your words, or if a person speaks while he has an intense urge to go to the bathroom, not only is there no mitzvah, but it's an avera. He says, if you're in a place where it's like a bathhouse or a bathroom where people are undressed or exposed, or there's a fecal matter around, where it's also to learn, and there all of a sudden you start talking and learning, or you start paskening, or you mention the name of Hashem. Tefillasa tayeva, in these cases, your tefillah is considered an abomination. First of all, you're not yaitzi yechiyuv, and it comes out that all the brachas you're saying are levatala. Meaning, in this case, it's better that you don't daven, even if it means you're going to miss davening with minyan, or you're going to miss zman tefillah. It's not an appropriate tefillah. He says, instead of a mitzvah, you're getting an aveira. It's like someone who's using his mouth to speak nivol peh. Now here, you're davening, you're saying Shmoneh Esrei, you're saying Shema. But you're doing it in a place where it's not appropriate. It's mamish like you're saying nivul peh. What if you're not so drunk? So your blood alcohol level is up there a little bit, but it's not completely to the point of intoxication. Or you feel a need to use the restroom, but not extremely strong. As long as you are somewhat intoxicated, or feel some need to relieve yourself, even though, yes, it's not a tefillah shav. You're yotzei, you're chiyuv, but avera ka'avid v'nimtzayis mitzvah avera. So it comes out that you essentially, yeah, you did a mitzvah over there, but you also put some things on the avera scale at the same time, because it's not a tefillah. It's not a tefillah tayeva. It doesn't rise to that level that there's very specific rules about, but it is up there in terms of inappropriate, and therefore it's frowned upon. Let's just do a drop more. He says on page 497, I'm a daber b'emsa tefillah, someone who speaks in the middle of davening, meaning in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, right? I b'emsa kriya shema, or someone speaks in the middle of kriya shema, v'afilu b'soich, or he speaks in the middle of psukah dezimra, or b'chazaras hamida, or during chazaras hashatz, or b'emsa hahalel, or in the middle of halel. All of these types of interruptions basically show a person is indifferent to kavod shemayim. If you speak schoik and kalas roish, or you're yelling, you're shouting inappropriately in a beis hakneses, all of these are inappropriate. It shows that you don't have any reverence, any respect for the shul. This punishment is going to be great, like we discussed earlier.